Blog Talk Radio.
That's me, Sandy Rogers, and I get to serve as your hostess tonight. And you guys know I get so excited every Tuesday because I get to present and host this show, and I have the most absolutely wonderful, amazing guests that agree to share their time with us. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness. And for being with us tonight, being a part of the show, I so thoroughly appreciate you. So, you know, there's a couple of things that we always do as we prepare to get into the discussions that we have right here on Truthful Tuesdays. And so first and foremost, we give thanks to the ancestors because the ancestors are always with us. And especially on Tuesday nights, as we discuss issues and topics that are not ordinarily talked about in an open setting or in an open dialogue, we know that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength, for courage, and for determination. We trust the ancestors got our backs at all times, especially as we move forward in this world. So, ancestors, we thank you. We thank you. Oh, and we have a new one. Whew, we add Fred Dewitt to the ancestors list, a very dear friend of mine. He transitioned last Saturday. We love you, Fred. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you did for making our lives so beautiful here. And so the next thing that we do on the show and preparing ourselves is to read a portion of a daily inspirational message. And they are a part of my collection that can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. I'm only going to read a small portion of the daily message, but if you go on to that site, revsandy.wordpress.com, you can sign up to have the inspirational messages delivered directly to your email, and they come on a daily basis, and all you do is open them up. But today, actually, the message for today, April the 16th, is called Change Catalyst, and I think it's very appropriate. Sometimes I'll go through and change the ones that I use for that day. So again, if you go onto the website, just look for Change Catalyst and it's dated today. So it says, we can create change in the universe by simply changing ourselves. I'm going to say that again. We can create change in the universe by simply changing ourselves. We are the beginning point of all that is to transpire through transformation. We can destroy all limiting behaviors that create separation. We can choose to love unconditionally. We are a part of a global family that seeks unity. So that's going to set us up for this evening. And because we have such a very special show on tap for tonight, it's called Youth Leadership Ranch. And I am privileged to be able to present my older brother, William Saphir, as our main speaker for tonight. And we're going to get started with William momentarily. I'm so excited. So, you know, it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So our show tonight is called Youth Leadership Ranch, or Youth Leadership Ranches. And, again, our guest is William Saphir, who just happens to be my older brother, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him in a minute. But, audience, you know, you're always, always invited to be a part of this discussion. And all comments are welcomed, and every voice is heard. No foul, profane, or vulgar language, however, is allowed. And if that is your choice of language, we will ask you to stop, and if not, we will simply disconnect you from the call. So just letting you know up front, our call-in number here is 516-531-9819, and you would simply press 1 on your dial to alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. And once I open up your line, I normally don't silence the line. So while you're not speaking, just put your phone on mute so that it doesn't disrupt the quality of the music when people go to listen to the playbacks. So again, thank you. For being here with Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And the link for the show is blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. We're going to take a quick music break. We're going to set us up for tonight. And when we come back, we're going to get into a discussion with our esteemed guest for today. So we're going to take a quick music, and we'll be right back.
Is it for love? Is it for refreshing? Is it to combat depression? Is it to make people happy? I mean, I love it. I can hear it. I can listen to what somebody smiles at.
But when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm sorry, and when I'm glad, when that sunshine turns to rain, and I just can't stand the pain, and I feel I'm going insane till I get back home again. When I think I can't compete, and I just can't find the beat. When I'm old, when I'm young, when I find on song the sun, I sure hope we have some fun, spreading love to everyone. So before I tip my cup, I just want to pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. Pick somebody up.
I love that. It's called Pick Somebody Up by Raul Madone, M-I-D-O-N. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Oh, my God. And that's what this is all about. That's what life is all about. It's about being a change catalyst while you're picking somebody up. So, listen, welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I tell you, I am just so excited about our show tonight. And so, again, if you're interested in sharing in the discussion, our number here is 56531-9819. You will hit 1 on the dial to let us know you want to talk live on air with us. Otherwise, we're about to get this thing crunk and started. My esteemed to the air tonight with us, my older brother, William Saphir. There are so many words that I could use to describe him. He's a leader in the community. I think he came out the womb like that, just taking and being conscious of his surroundings and wanting to improve it. Even while he was in kindergarten, he was willing to share his rain clothes with a classmate that didn't have anything, didn't have rain boots or, you know, the raincoat and an umbrella. So he shared with him. He's always doing that. He's always sharing what he has, and he's always analyzing and preparing so that everybody equally is lifted up. You know, just like the record, Pick Somebody Up. And I'm extremely proud of my brother. He's been my way shower and my mentor for a lot of years, and we've done a lot of things together. And so just briefly before I bring him on, because he has an incredible project that he is undertaking now, that I really want him to explain to you what it is, how it came about, and the reason that is existing, and the who it all includes, and how it's going to come into being. And so back in the, probably in 1960, I'm not sure, 61 is the year that we kind of claim it to be, we had a, William had a vision, a premonition about how he was going to bring people together and make an impact on the world, but not necessarily the world at that point, but on our community, which was Watts, California. And so through all the steps and all the reaching out and all the meetings. We had our first meeting, and eventually we came up with the name of SCIFW, S-C-F-I-W, which stands for Student Committee for Improvement in Watts. And so I make fun that SCIFW is now being represented by its grandchild, the Youth Leadership Branches. But then I also told William that the same acronym, SCIFW, could stand for Senior Citizen for Improvement Worldwide. So, you know, we're going to do a little play on words, but it's still in that same vein, right? It's still about assisting people to be the best that they can and to not stand and determine what it is that they really want to see best in their environment. So with that, again, I'm so excited to be able to bring to you my older brother, my big brother, William Saphir. Welcome to the show, William.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Thank you. You know, certainly.
You're
yes, I'm elated. You know, it's one thing to be acknowledged by your peers. One thing to be acknowledged by even by strangers that might hear something about your life, some contribution you've made. But it's an entirely a different thing for someone who's known you just about all of your life. You know, and only time you we didn't have a direct awareness. It was, I think I'm what, 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
other than that, it's literally been all of my life that you've known me.
There you go.
Yeah. And so that's a blessing. That's really a blessing. So I appreciate that. From the jury from the very beginning. You know, hide anything from somebody you've known for that long.
No, yeah, that's true.
About yourself.
The
strengths and
the weaknesses, you know. So
that's right. Absolutely. You know, and a lot of times we find our way, we find our purpose, we find our flow in something that we might consider our weakness, our vulnerability. You know, the things that we have to spend so much time working on. Sometimes that's our key to our gift, you know. So weaknesses, what we call weaknesses, are not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No. You know, it's all in the perception, right?
It is indeed. You know.
Yeah.
And especially when we are talking about we're talking about leadership, you know, and as we get into that discussion, you know, often I was at a community meeting just tonight, just before the show, and then when we are looking for what we might consider leaders or potential leaders, we're looking for the ones who some people have designated as the smart ones, the bright ones, the ones that have that seemingly have all the potential, and that's not necessarily where the leaders will come from. You know, they very well might, but it might be that one that no one is paying any attention to, the one that's quiet, the one that's reserved, the one that's burdened with all kind of difficulty right now. You know, that may be the one that can, you know, can offer the most to those coming behind, because they can identify with so much of the hurt and pain and circumstances for the very people that need the help. So perception sometimes has to be thrown out the window, and you know, and just allow ourselves to be available to lift somebody up, to use the word expression from the song, you know.
Whoever
passed that we might cross.
Yeah. So when we're looking for that the leadership. So it's not necessarily skill is what I hear you saying, but it's more a person's heart and what it is for the rest of humanity that that you're taking into consideration more so than, you know, their other characteristics, I should say, you know.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, in the Eastern tradition, you're talking about the ancestors, you know, and when we look far enough back with our ancestors, we would have to look to what was usually called the East, Africa, Asia, that part of the world. The word for heart actually is not just emotion. It encompasses emotion, but it's an emotional intelligence. You know, where the emotion itself has intelligence in it.
Right,
know?
Right.
So it usually in the West when we talk about emotions, when we talk about the heart, we're just talking about just something just feels a certain way without any direction, without any guidance, without any development. But really, when a person really is in a touch with their, let's call it sensitivity, their human sensitivities, which we could call their heart, then it's being directed really by the creator of the whole universe, and it's the thing that makes us human. You know, it's that. I'm thinking. My mind goes to a rock when you throw it in the water and it ripples out. That's the kind of registering of the environment. That's the kind of registering of what's going on in not only in somebody's mind, but in their whole being. You know, so for somebody to be able to register the hurt, register the pain, register the happiness and the joy, all of those qualities of being human, the more that can that person can register those things, the more they can be of service to others and be of service to themselves. So it definitely it's not a thing that's completely just in the head coming out of the brain, out of what we usually call the intelligence. But it's more in the heart. So it definitely is more in the heart.
Yeah, but you're talking about register a person being able to register hurt and pain and compassion and passion and those various things. But a person needs to do more than register. So if they have hurt and pain from their past and they've never dealt with it, they've never resolved it, then they would not be the best person or the best one suited to be the leader. I would think that they would need some additional sensitivity training, so to speak, you know, because then they haven't resolve the issues that they have, then they just inflict those pains on other people that are around them.
You're right. As a matter of fact, I've heard it said, one of the DJs here in the Atlanta area, he says hurt people hurt people, you know, and I think that's the idea in that. And the person that becomes that's allows him or herself to move into a position of leadership is one that will register the pain, but register so deeply that they feel compelled, obligated to act on it. And then they get up and do something with it.
Okay, I got you.
You're right. That is the separator, how a person responds. You mentioned our experience back in Watts, Sandy, coming up back in the early 60s, 1961. And that's what happened. You know, I wasn't sitting around thinking about, you know, creating a community organization. That went to thoughts going into my young mind. You know, I was just thinking about all the things around me and all the, there was so much pain, there was so much oppression, there was so much hurt, there was so much difficulty, you know, in our lives, and I was just seeing it all around me. And there were so many people's lives that were destroyed, and I was just seeing so much of that, and I was registering all of that, and that's what my mind was on. But and it registered so deeply until it finally got to a point where, you know, I just said, you know what, something has to be done, and it has to be done by somebody. And I didn't see anybody doing anything that was doing anything effective to directing any attention to our problems out there in Watts. I didn't see it in the preachers. I didn't see it in the teachers. I didn't see it in the politicians. You know, I didn't see it even in the civil rights leaders. They weren't active out in Watts. You know, they made
right.
So we didn't have anything. You know, all we had was the problem, and plenty of them. You know, and so I was just blessed by God. You know, and I have to give that credit. You know, because I didn't know what was on me. I didn't know what was pushing me to get up, but I just felt obligated, obliged. I felt compelled to get up and do something. Didn't know what to do, but I thought that something needed to be done. And that's when people raising questions, and pretty soon we had a movement, a very strong movement led by kids, kids with a strong desire, and we began a major transformational movement in a community that was considered the most downtrodden probably on the planet back then during those days. That was the kind of reputation we had, you know.
Right.
But in relatively short order, we were able to move the needle on the compass, you know, to almost due north, where we were destined to change things around, you know, and turn things around and transform that community. So again, it was just registering deep enough in the heart, in the soul, you know, and that human sensitivity, you know, when I think the area where that's deep registering is, my mind goes to this what we call the human soul, you know, the essence of the core of our being. You know, when something is registered that deeply, there's an intelligence there, a real intelligence there, that and when we innocently, and that's what happened, that's what we were doing as kids, we were innocently just responding to the environment, to the signals, to the signs that were all around us and coming from inside of us. And we weren't spending too much time trying to analyze that per se in terms of seeing how it made sense or seeing how all the thinking was organized to give us an answer to what we needed to do. We just responded to the things that we were feeling very deeply, you know, and we kept responding to that, and we let that guide us. And I think that was the reason for our success.
Yeah,
the level of success that we had. Yes.
Just kind of stretch that out a little bit. I was on a conference call on Sunday, and it was dealing with the principles of Ho'oponopono. And in discussing that, one of the individuals that are part of this team talked about intention versus inspiration. And that intention is when you're dealing from memory and it's like structured and it needs to look like this. And so it's like a daily to-do list, you know, and that's the way to do it. The other part of that is doing things by inspiration. And that's what I hear you saying about the situation in Watts and what you've done every place you've gone, William. I mean, you know, you did that in Dallas-Fort Worth with the children there, you know, starting off with 300 and going to over 4,000 children, and how eager those individuals were to come every summer to take a part of that program. is you're bringing people back to life in the every place that you go. And so what I've done just the last 2 days, because this will just happen on Sunday, is that I've chosen to live by inspiration and not intention. So I've put aside my to-do list and dealing from inspiration. And there's such a freeing in that whole action. So I understand what's driving you, what's have you so connected to that intelligence of the spirit, of the soul of a person, and having that be the cornerstone for the work that you're doing. So, again, I applaud you because you understood that. You may not have understood it in those words, but you understood it and you acknowledged it and you allowed it to lead you when you were 11, 12 years old, you know?
Yes, yes. You know, that's so beautiful that the way you describe that, Sandy, because that word inspiration, in spirit, that's where the word is derived from. In
I hadn't
spirit.
Looked at it like that,
Yes. So being guided, and not just by spirit, but in spirit. In other words, something that's being, we are creatures of influence as human beings. And that's what sets us apart from the rest of the creation, the fact that we can be molded or shaped like clay, you know, we can be impressed, influenced, you know. And so this inspiration is the influence that we allow ourselves to be subjected to from the deepest place in our spirit, you know. We're allowing that to be the dominant influence. And when you get to that deep of a place in our spirit, as a part of our soul, when you allow yourself to go that deep, then you have the guidance of that was put in the original nature of human beings. In other words, the purpose for human life. You're tapping into that. So the guidance that we need at any point in our life is in us already if we allow ourselves to go deep enough.
And
I think that's the reason why people are so open to these habits that drag them down and destroy their life, you know, of becoming alcoholics and getting addicted to drugs and all the other addictions that we have, maybe food, you know, anything that dominates our life and takes it off balance, you know. But this ability for us to be able to tap into that divine design that's in every one of us, and we already have that guidance for our whole life. Just like in the oak tree, in the acorn. Is everything that will come out of it and become the oak tree? It's already in the acorn,
right?
You know,
right.
It's already there, you know. And the seed of our soul, that very essence of our being, you know, it's all there. The direction for our whole life is already inside of us. Everything that we need, all the answers that we need, they're already inside of us. And the things that we experience on the outside just open us up to it. You know, just reconnects to that thing inside of us. And because I can recall Sandy, 11, 12 years old, sitting out on our front porch there in Watts, and almost like a theater, you know, like watching a movie, you know, watching the pimps and the prostitutes and the alcoholics. We call them winos back then. And the drug dealers, all of that, you know, the number runners up and down the street. I mean, just all of that, all of the things that destroy human life. But just being exposed to that, you know. And I think I shared it with you one time. Something happened one day, and I didn't realize until years later that there was a trigger there. You know, one moment there was a trigger. And I was sitting on the front porch, and Cadillac drove up, and stopped directly in front of our house, right across the street. And this dude opened the door and kicked his prostitute, his pimp, kicked his prostitute out of the car with his feet, and then he drove off. I mean, he just brutally, you know, kicked her out of the car, and she was devastated. You know, not only was she physically hurt, but she was just devastated, and you could tell that she was on heroin. We used to call it smack back in the day, but she had those tracks all up and down her arm, and she was scratching her arm. And she was just sitting there on the curb. She couldn't even get up for a period of time. And finally, she mustered up enough strength, garnered enough strength to pick herself up, walk down half block down to the corner, and start tricking again.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think
in that moment, I said, you know, this has to stop. This has to change.
Yeah.
And
just imagine what our children are looking at today. You know, that was horrific back then. You know, and our life was a little different from, you know, most of our friends' lives and things. But, you know, the children of today have those sites that you just explained, and I know how deeply it touches you, excuse me, but then they also have the social media, they've got cable TV, they've got regular TV, so they have all these images as well that they have to contend with. So it really overemphasizes just how important these youth leadership ranches are.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So tell us about the building process. You know, like, so how did this also start back in the 60s and have just grown, or is it just another step in what you've done, you know, through these years, and this is now at a different elevation? What is the Youth Leadership Ranch?
Okay, awesome. It's a maturing of our work, and showing gratitude for these last six decades of laboring and working. Serving the community and especially our youth and families on all those levels. The Youth Leadership Ranch is an expression of gratitude, and it's an environment where the kind of support any one of us, I know me certainly, that if I had had the support to really develop all of my qualities. We had some pretty strong individuals in our life all over the years.
Right.
I'm thankful for that. But there was no solid support base for us socially, economically, mentally, spiritually, you know, for all those expressions of human life. We didn't have a complete support system around us, you know. And so the Youth Leadership Ranch is offers just that. It's an environment that we're creating where we can attract some of the young people that will respond to the invitation as we continually put it out. Matter of fact, I had a couple that I was talking to today. I don't know if I invited them to come on the call. They may be on the call tonight. But young people that are invited to our call, we're creating an environment, a natural environment. And you're talking about making impressions on the human soul. You can't make a stronger impression than the natural environment can. The trees, the water, the animals, the dirt. You know, you can't make a stronger impression upon the human soul in a natural environment than with all of those expressions of this creation like that. You know, that touches us without us even being aware of it. And if we're completely surrounded by it, you know, and we don't see the bricks and the concrete and the more artificial man-made things all around us, but all the noise and the pollution and the toxicity that's all around us, when we're in that that rural environment, on that ranch or on that farm, and we're engaging the natural creation, that in and of itself speaks to us and opens up our soul so that it can express itself, so that it can be reached, so that heart intelligence that we were talking about, that soul intelligence, that intelligence that's there in the DNA, you know, so that it can be supported more easily than it can in an urban environment. So Youth Leadership Ranches offers that kind of environment, and it also gives us an opportunity for us to listen to our youth coming behind us, because they already God already put it in them. You know, their leadership ability to take us into the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, it's already in them. You know,
right.
we don't have to put that in them. We just have to create an environment that's going to support it being developed, so that it can be expressed, so that it can be cultivated, so that it can take its natural course that the Creator intended for each one of those youth that will be participating and that will be engaging was created to take in their life. That's what the Youth Leadership Ranch is designed to do. It's to bring out for us to put the best of what we have available, so that it can bring out the best in our future leaders. That's what it's designed to do.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of our children don't have that opportunity to get out in nature or to, you know, to be in a different environment other than this urban situations that we live in. And so they don't know, like, how food grows, or, you know, they've never touched a horse or you know, a beautiful big animal like that. Just had the freedom not to see all of the noise, not hear all the noise and see all of the congestion, you know. And so when you do have that natural environment and they're out there, there's such a peace that comes over an individual that is exposed to that. And so I can see that really being a perfect environment for children to be able to unleash some of that inner potential that they have, you know. So
Yes. That
process, I think, is really, really good. So I was in the garden, working in the garden earlier today, and we had some volunteers that came over from UPS to help us. Woohoo, UPS. And so we were talking about, you know, how children don't know where their food comes from. You know, they think it comes out the grocery store, and they have no concept that food comes from out of the earth, you know. And so this, the whole concept that you have, that you've thought of, this Youth Leadership Ranch, is very, very timely for where we are in the world now, because we've lost touch with our roots. We've lost touch with who we are, what we know, and what we have to offer, you know, with our power, our strength, our courage. And so to be able to take children into an environment where all of that's encouraged and increased in them is just absolutely phenomenal. So let me just give a shout out right quick. Again, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So tonight we're talking about youth leadership ranches with William Saphir. If you'd like to join on the discussion, our number here is 516-531-9819. And you would just push 1 if you would like to add in on the conversation live on air with us. Otherwise, just continue to listen and see how you can help. And if you do have something to add to the conversation, though, please just push 1. Call in on the number and push 1 and let us know. Okay, William. So, that whole process of creating the environment is key. Especially for inner city children, you know.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, I'm not only will they have an opportunity, like you said, to find out things like where food comes from, where eggs come from, you know, where the hamburger meat comes from, and on, you know. Where broccoli comes from and a strawberry and all those things. Not only will they be exposed to those kinds of things, but I'm telling you something else. Here in the Atlanta area, there are trees all over the place. But I'm willing to put, and I don't gamble, but I'm willing to bet that the average child don't even acknowledge all the trees that are all around. We used to climb trees. We used to get limbs off of trees. You know, we used to go up and look at the birds in the trees and try to throw rocks at the birds. And we were just children, but we were just part of the environment, you know. And
right,
we got out in the dirt, you know, and we played marbles in the sand and the jump ropes and all that kind of stuff. That we were always engaging the environment, you know, and we recognized that there were clouds in the sky, you know. But children nowadays, you know, they're so disconnected. They spend so much time being their environment in school as well as in their homes. They spend so much time with the devices, the computers and the mobile phones.
Exactly.
And that consumes their whole life, you know. And they've lost touch with the wonder and the beauty and the connection with this natural environment, which is essential for healthy human growth. It's absolutely
right.
For the human psyche, the human soul, the human spirit, as well as the human body, you know. Outside with especially African Americans, you know, and outside being exposed to the sun, being able to breathe the fresh air, it's just something that we almost have to be reintroduced to.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Because we've been conditioned to want all the toys. And the toys normally keep you inside, distracted. It keeps you actually from developing interpersonal skills because, you know, like you guys all used to laugh at me when I would be like, what's all of this I stuff? iPhone, iPad, I this, I that.
Huh.
And so within the name of the products, it told you that it was causing separation. And it was causing this individualized human to not want to fellowship with other people. And so it was put right in front of our faces, you know, how they say hidden in plain sight, you know, like they told you, we ain't trying to make you learn how to get along and become and to stay a unit, a tribe, whatever, you know, you want to call it, even a gang, you know. Because there is a connection in that type of group of individuals. And so we've got to get the children away from the distractions. And it's all It's all planned out. You know, nothing's by chance, by happenstance. And so we've got to be deliberate. And so that's why I applaud the work that you're doing, because it's deliberate, looking at the reality of what's going on within our communities today, not yesterday or 50 years ago. You know, you're taking
right.
the wisdom that was learned from that to apply it to what's going on today. But this is what is needed in our communities. We've got to be wise enough, right? We got to be wise enough to know that there was wisdom in the things that happened for us in our past, in our history.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, I was just at a community meeting, and the council person for that district was there, and they were trying to, it was one of the historic neighborhoods. I won't put the name out there right now, but one of the historic neighborhoods in Atlanta, and one of the historic dying neighborhoods. It's almost like a ghost town over there in terms of the life, the family life, the community life, the energy where families are looking out for each other and caring for each other, and vibrant, and this social activity almost completely absent, gone. Where it was at one time, that was the strength of this particular neighborhood. And at this meeting, there was only a handful of people, and most of them were in their 60s, 70s, you know, and one person said they had been living in that neighborhood for 66 years. So again, you're talking about working deliberately, you know. And you mentioned earlier about living in inspiration as opposed to living intentionally. You know, we have to be driven by inspiration. We have to stay in touch, and we have to live our lives like that in order to be the most effective that we can be. But as we let that drive us, then we have to move from that level of inspiration, and we have to be intentional or deliberate. And okay, now that's my engine, that's my motor, that's my motivation, that's my inspiration, that's my drive to get up and do. Now, when I get up and do, now I have to be very deliberate, very intentional, very 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 rational. I have to consider all of the emotional pieces, all the social pieces, all the intellectual pieces, all the unseen things that make up human life, but I have to be very intentional about it and very deliberate about it and use my intelligence, because believe me, those people that are keeping our families, those people that are keeping our children consumed, that's what they call us, consumers, that keeping
exactly.
us distracted, they're very intentional, and they're planning all the time. You know?
That's right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, so it takes this kind of an effort to help us bring life back to our families, life back to our communities, and when that happens, we create environments where we can have some individual life. Because you know,
mm-hmm.
we I don't care how hard you want to try to be a strong human being, if there's death all around you, you're going to be influenced by that death.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't care how strong
right.
you are, how much money you got, you know, how much perfection you have, how many degrees you got, how much fame you have. If you're surrounded by death, you're going to be influenced by that death. No way around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're just by our circumstances. If we really want a full and complete and happy and prosperous life, we have to lift somebody up, to go back to that song. We're our soul obligates us to reach out and to be social, you know, to want to serve the group. Now, we exist really on two levels, Sandy. We exist as individuals, and we also exist in our collective self.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, any one of us can represent the whole humanity, and in effect, we do. Any one of us encompasses all that's in the whole humanity. Any one of us. Yeah. And so we have in our being, in our very being, we have this part of ourselves that's individual and has to take care of, you know, has this whole idea of self-preservation, but also myself in terms of the whole creation, this whole living thing that we call creation, that myself, I am this collection of 6 billion plus 7 billion, however many they're saying it is now, that's me. I represent that, mm-hmm. you know. So that's the bigger part of myself. My sensing this connection with the rest of my human family, you know. So as we work with these young people, we want to connect them with their original design and their human spirit and their human soul. And when we do that, we connect them, we connect ourselves with the whole of the humanity. And we when we make this part of their everyday outlook, so I don't just go out and do something not considering how my action is not going to affect my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or my cousin or my neighbor next door or the ethnic group that's different from mine, or the religious group that's different from mine, or the country that's different from mine, people that speak a different language. No, I'm going to, in each one of my actions, whether it seems to be small or very big and important, you know, at some point I'm going to have to register and consider how my action is affecting everybody else, because it does.
Right.
And that in and of itself, talking about developing leaders, you know, by us supporting these young people and allowing them to come into this environment and develop their leadership skills, the goal is to have them learn how to lead themselves.
Right.
You know, and once we get better and better at leading ourselves, when we do that, automatically there's something, some situation, somebody, some group that we're influencing, always. You know, so whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's your friends, whether it's just a relationship, you're influencing somebody just walking down the street, and people are being impacted and affected by your presence. You're walking in a room, people are being impacted and affected by your presence, creating these strong leaders where they're leading themselves. What I mean by leading myself, I lead myself when I decide how I want to think.
Not, I like that.
Yeah, not how everybody else is thinking, but I decide the thoughts that I want to hold on to in my mind. Not just doing it because everybody else is using a certain group of words and it's cool, or whatever the language is nowadays, you know. And not just because everybody else is doing it, but I'm deciding myself. That's leading yourself, because you're making your own decisions based upon what's coming up out of you, out of your heart and your mind.
When I
can tell myself, you know, this food, I mean, this hamburger over here, it sure smells good. I can smell it from a block away, you know. Or these French fries, I can smell them from a block away, you know. And they smell so good, and I got to go get some French fries or some fried chicken or whatever, you know. But when I decide, I say, well, you know, if I can smell that stuff from that far away, maybe I shouldn't be putting it in my body. If I can smell it from that far away.
All right, now you're stepping on somebody's toes now.
Hey, but at least all I'm saying is I'm making a decision.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, whether I decide to go out and get them, you know, or whether I decide not to, I made a decision.
Right.
Instead of me just having this knee-jerk reaction of just doing it because everybody else is doing it, or because the smell is pulling me to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know,
yeah, but we got a couple of places here in Atlanta that's supposedly very popular, but the smell just really makes me sick to my stomach. So, but you know, to each his own.
But the point is, and I know you're hearing it. You know, is whatever it is, whether it's the words we decide to form our daily thinking. See, my character is formed by the thought that I decide to stay and dominate my thinking. My character is formed by that.
Mm.
So if I'm constantly feasting on words and ideas that self-destructive, I'm constantly finding fault in myself and everybody else that I come into contact with. If I'm always looking for the negative aspect of something, I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, if I'm always selecting words that what they are doing to me, you know, making myself a victim, I'm choosing that.
Exactly.
I'm choosing those.
Exactly.
And when I choose those words, then that makes up my character. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I become this self-destructive, negative person, always down, always oppressed. You know. Always complaining, criticizing other people and myself, but I did it because I haven't learned how to lead myself.
Like that.
Yes. So we can create an environment where we can at least, if nothing else, bring it to these young people's attention. You said it. You change your words, change your life. Or was in that song.
Yeah.
I heard it somewhere today.
Yeah,
I think it was,
in
your daily inspiration, in that inspiration that you just read.
Okay, you're right.
Change your words. That's leadership. That's self leadership. You know.
Yeah.
And so the biggest thing the biggest gift that we can give these future leaders is not to give them I don't want to call it skills. Techniques, that's better. The techniques to go and manipulate other people to get them to do what they want them to do. No, that's not leadership.
Right.
You know, to go ahead and how to just influence other people to do stuff that you want them to do. You know, this image that we have of these bad, not the good politicians, but the bad politicians, just to say anything so the people can accept it, so they'll vote for you. You know, not to manipulate and to influence people to go. That's not leadership. True leadership is when you lead yourself, and when you when you direct your own character in such a way that you bring the best out of yourself, and you make habits out of that, and when you go in an environment. You influence the environment because you being the best of who you are, and everybody else can feel that. That's leadership.
Right. And I like how you say that, because it's not about, although it will have that effect in the long run, but it's not about teaching people, like you said, the skills to be over other folks, but teaching people how to improve and hone in on their own abilities. And that is so key right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know that we come out of a system that started back when the educational system began that only wanted to develop robots, because the Industrial Revolution, they needed everybody to think the same thing and to be measured by the same. And so that, you know, you don't really think out, you don't color outside the lines, and you got to have the same answer to the question as everybody else, because everybody needed to think the same thing. And so now here you come with Youth Leadership Ranch, and you're like, your leadership skills are based upon you being able to lead yourself to the decision you made for your best. And that's that's right there. It's monumental.
Yeah. See, and then you can be true to yourself, which is number one. You can be true to yourself, and then that allows you to move into the zone of being sincere. I heard it once said that religion is sincerity. Religion, I want to say that again. Religion is sincerity. It's not following this dogma, that dogma. Religion is sincerity. So being sincere means that you are, first of all, being true to yourself. You know? Mm. And when you're true to yourself, then you have you are allowing your light to shine, and your light can only shine when you're true to yourself. If you're not true to yourself, if you're lying to yourself, if you're false to yourself, if you're faking it until you make it, all that kind of madness that we hear, you know, and you find you never make it, so you're faking it all your life.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So. But if you are living this life of pretense, you know, and images, you know, so many of these young sisters, you know, not the young sisters, the young brothers too, they get so caught up into the fads and to the fashion or to the fads, you know, and so we get so overly concerned about trying to paint this picture that's acceptable to what you think everybody else have in their mind, you know.
Indeed.
That's why.
Indeed.
Yeah, you know. So you allow yourself, you know, be impressed and say, well, this is what beauty is. So if I'm a African American woman, but beauty is to have my hair looking like somebody of another ethnic group. Now that's all I'm gonna say about that.
Yeah.
Then I'm gonna make sure that my hair looks like somebody of another ethnic group, because that's what I've accepted as you know, this image of what beauty is.
Right.
But that's, again, that's not me leading myself.
No, it's not.
Because I have not decided for myself what I consider of being presentable, being handsome, being beautiful. I'm letting the style, the image that somebody else has put out in the environment lead my life instead of me leading my own life.
Right.
So I'm not thinking. Bottom line, I'm not thinking.
So how are you going about accomplishing the youth leadership branch to make it into a reality?
Okay, oh, good question, Sandy. Okay, matter of fact, let me just make a point before we get too far into the show. Anyone that's listening can go to Keep America Strong, INC, Inc., keepamericastronginc.org, and they can find a more written information on youth leadership ranches about both my as well as Sandy's, some of our background, some of the activities that we've done in the past, and there's a tab there that will explain some more detail about the Youth Leadership Ranch. And there are several places for you to donate. We need your support. We need your financial support. So you can go, that's INC, keepamericastronginc.org, and you can find out, get more information, and you can make a donation. So that being said,
perfect.
We have been reaching out for the last 3 years since we've been in Atlanta. We've been reaching out and making connections, and I have to give you credit, Sandy, for a lot of that. You've been introducing me to so many people, and taking me into so many circles that probably would have taken me 10 years to do. But in this short period of time, we've been able to connect with some strong individuals who are working as a team, supporting each other, and making this possible. Now, we have one ranch that we're focusing upon and developing our model, and we've already taken some young people out there and met with them on occasion. The formal program have the formal structured courses that we'll be doing from time to time, those program funded programs, that's coming down the pipe. But in the meantime, we're working every day. We're working as we move around, making connection with the young people, the youth, and they're the ones who are being supported. We're directing all of our attention to those youth coming behind us. When I say youth, I'm the main age group, we're talking 12 to 18. But we're not limited to that. We'll back all the way down to a youngster 6, 7 years old if they have the showing some sign of interest and concern and direction in their life and they're ready to get up and do something. We will back all the way down, you know, to with the support and permission of their parents, of course, to accommodate them. But our main group be from that teen group, 12 to 18. That's the main group we're focusing on. And both male and female. We're really focusing on the male more than the female because if the men will get their act together and stand up and learn how to just stand in their maleness, then the women can regain their strength much quicker than the men can. The men just. Well, you have a son, Sandy. You know,
right.
The male spirit. You know, we just all over the place. You know, we trying this and trying that, and we out trying to conquer this and conquer that. You know, and that's the reason why. You know, by the time a child is 6 or 7 years old, the young girl, as a rule, she's way out beyond the young boy because his mind's all over the place. You know. And so as we work with these young men and strengthening them in their maleness, then it's not going to only help them, but it's only also going to help the families that they have in the future because they will be the ones who will continually going out front and venturing out and trying this and trying that and doing the things that males do more so than females, you know, just. The female energy, the female spirit, to me is more important than the male spirit. You know, if you want to compare them, because she's given the big responsibility and the blessing to form the life, not only in her
right.
own physical womb, but she has this the most time to form and shape the spirit. The mind, you know, the intellect, and even in terms of developing those habits that will determine how that new life will treat its own physical body, even, you know, how it relates to material things. The mother has the bigger role, the more important role, in terms of, and it's just natural, more natural to her. Men have to, we need more work on us than women need on them. That's just. You know, it's just the way it is. You know,
right.
So,
right.
So we will probably spend more time reaching out to the young brothers. But we're there for, and we will definitely have strong programs for women as well. And if we have more women responding, more young girls, more responding than the young boys, then we go with that. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Right, right.
So we're not going to put ourselves in a box like that. So the structure is like this. It's three tiered, Sandy. We have the elders, and when I say elders, I'm talking those in their 70s, 60s, late 50s kind of thing, kind of roughly, you know. And then we have the and the elders have years under our belts, and we've experienced a lot. We've learned a lot, and learned a lot about what to do in life and what not to do, the things not
right,
to do.
Right, right.
And the wisdom comes from both, you know. And so we can share that, you know, we can share our skills, our experience, our knowledge. We can be valuable resources, not only to the youth, but also to the young adults who will be working in between the youth and
okay.
the elders. And the young
okay.
adults will be working as mentors, hands-on mentors to the youth, because the youth can relate to them because they're closer to their age group. And so we have a growing body of mentors in the young adult range that's coming on board and making themselves available to be a part of our growing movement, because the Youth Leadership Ranch is a phenomenon. It's a movement. It's a phenomenon that's taking root and it's growing. I mean, it's growing daily. Yes.
Okay.
And so we're at first, when we first got rolling, we were just focusing on one ranch, but that didn't quite work out like we had hoped it would. That ranch, is, as far as I know, it may still be available. But now, since that didn't work out like we thought it would, it widened our vision. So now we're partnering with ranches and farmers all over the country.
Great.
Yeah, but our base is right here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area.
Okay.
So that gives you kind of a. Now we have some formal programs. We'll be doing. Focusing a lot of activity during the summer when the kids are out of school, but we'll have things going on year round.
Excellent. Okay. So I heard you say elders, young adults, and youth. And
yes.
So does that young adult group, there I got it, it was three different words, not one. So that age group is what, from 20 to 50? The young
adults?
Yeah,
thereabouts. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that. And so
we're
down to about 12 minutes left in the show. Does not take long, I know, right? Time just passes by. So anyone, if you have a question or a comment, this would be the perfect time. But I understand. If not, I'm going to give a shout out again for the ways to contact and to get additional information with regard to the Youth Leadership Ranch. So the website is www.keepamericainc.org. So that's the website. You can go on. There's a couple of pictures of the children, and I think there's a couple of them been interviewed, and they give their opinion of what the program is and what their interest is in that. If you would like to bypass that, or in addition to that, if you would like to make a contribution, you can go to the PayPal account, and that's the email address for Keep America Strong. And if you would like to send any type of communication, you can do that as well. And so that address is KAS, as in Keep America Strong, KASINC 2001. That's the year that the organization was incorporated. So it's KASINC 2001 at gmail.com. Again, that's for PayPal donation, email communication to send information or ask for additional anything concerning any of the programs that Keep America Strong is presenting, or if you just want to know more about the organization, please feel free to use one of those methods of being in contact. And so the conversation has really been extremely informative, William, tonight, about the whole idea behind the Youth Leadership Ranch, how it began in the mind of a young person many, many years ago, and how it has developed. And again, like I said in the beginning, 10 or 12 years old, to come up with that type of concept and then to actually use some part of that dynamic in Los Angeles and then while you were in Texas and for all the thousands of children that whose lives you touched in Texas and then to now want to do it in Georgia. But, you know, and each one of the programs are different. Like, you know, they're more mature or more expansive in the outreach and how it's going to impact the children. So, again, I'm very, very proud of you for having the courage and the tenacity to stick to these programs that offer our children a better future. And so we, you know, always are about increasing in good. And your whole program about the sincerity and being true to self and leading for a person, the leadership is in leading oneself is just absolutely perfect. I think that taking that direction will benefit everybody involved, the ones that are doing the teaching, the one that's receiving mm-hmm. the lessons, and the yep. ones that are in the middle of it. So
yes.
we've got about 8 minutes left. I'm going to thank you once again, and I'm going to let you close. Take about 5 minutes or so, and however you need to summarize what you would like to the audience. And we'll call it a night. And thank you so much.
Okay, sure. Just like to just touch on each one of those three groups, the elders. You know, anyone that's listening, you know, you might consider yourself an elder in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. We have them, I know one person I'm thinking of right now in their 80s that have made themselves available. A couple I can think of in their 80s have made themselves available to support. And to work with us, go ahead and touch bases with at our email address, or you can always contact me directly. I don't mind sharing this. My number is 817-657-8089, especially the elders, and just let me know that you're interested in a youth leadership ranch, and I'll get back with you. More often when it's a number that I don't recognize, often I'm usually pretty busy. But if you leave a message, I'll get back to you. But elders, we need you. We need you. You are critical. And creating this environment of life, you know, with the knowledge, the experience, the wisdom, all that you gain over your lifespan, it has great value, it has great purpose, and now is the time to use it. You know, the world needs what you have to offer. You have a unique something to offer. I don't care who you are that's out there that's listening. You have a unique gift that nobody else can give but you. And your years that you've been allowed to be on this, you've been fortunate enough, you've been blessed to be here living today. I hope you have this sense of obligation to want to share with this youth coming behind us. They need you. We need you. So definitely reach out to me. The young adults, those in your 20s and 30s and 40s, We need you. You have skills. You have the energy. You have the concern and the interest. You have the drive already. You're doing things. You have various levels of establishment. Some of you are just getting started out good, but you want to help. You know, we need you too. We need you. We need if we had mentors enough so that we could do one-on-ones, it would even be better than. 1-on-20 or 1-on-30. So we need as many mentors to come forth and make themselves available as well. So we want you to reach out. We need financial support and contributions, but we need human support as much or more than we need financial support. We need people to come and help, what's the song say, lift somebody up.
Right.
And the youth. If there's any young people out there listening, if you know of any young people, if you're a parent and you've got young people, then we definitely want you to touch base with us and let us know that you have young people in one of those age groups and you want to get them engaged. We'll have all kind of activities that they will enjoy. You know, they can come out. Some of them like to come out and do target practice. Some of them just come out and work with the livestock. Come out and work with the horses or whatever. Some of them want to come out, might come out and participate in some of our – we'll have different types of fun activities, you know, come out and participate in some of the music and dance and theatrical kind of activities we'll have, cultural activities we'll have going on. We want you to enjoy yourself when you come out. We want you to feel supported. You know, if you want to do something with your life, we're there to support you, to give you the full base of support. And if we don't have it in our network, we'll find somebody to support you, to be able to develop yourself, to be able to develop a business if you want to develop your career path and make sure that you're directed to get whatever kind of education or training that you need. We're there for you, for the youth. So parents, we need you too. That's the main thing I want to do, Stan, is just kind of share that, let people know that we're in the people business. People helping people, that's what will heal the world.
Mm.
And I think that's enough right there.
Thank you, because that really sums it all up. And, you know, we talk about parents, and don't forget the grandparents, because sometimes that rearing of children has been passed on to the grandparents for various reasons. But, you know, we used to do that in the past, too. So it's not like it's something new. Sometimes we allow people to tell us that it's new, but it's really not. You know, we have done those things in the past where the extended family helps to raise the children. And so thank you so much, my big brother, for being with us and for sharing your newest venture and the things that you're doing, the reason why you're doing them, how you're doing them. And so just to give that contact information out once again, so that's keepamericastronginc.org is the website, www.keepamericastronginc.org. And the email and PayPal communication link is kasinc2001@gmail.com. And again, we have William Shafir as our guest tonight, and his phone number for the seniors, I did hear him say, elders rather, is 817-657-8089. Thank you one and all for being with us. We'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same station, and thank you so much again for being with us, and a special shout out to William Shafir. Love you guys.
Thank you. Love you, Sandy.
Bye.